You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 10.
This goes really fast, by the way. Oh, wait, I only showed up for 10 minutes.
The song, you mean, or the whole afternoon?
No, the afternoon.
Rod Blackson here. Noodles, still in Edmonton. Big celebrity out there, as we established yesterday. And, Rod, you've been all over the place. You were in Milwaukee last night. You were downtown earlier this afternoon. Now you're up here hanging out with us, and we got Ernie Johnson coming up, your counterpart, the American Rod Black.
That's
what
he
is.
That's a very big insult, Ernie. I saw him getting on the airplane this morning, and I asked him to come on. And I love Ernie. He's one of those guys that he's a plug and play Swiss Army knife too. He does baseball and he does basketball and he does golf. He used to do some of the majors, and he's just a terrific guy. And he has to. He has to be what the ultimate host is. He has to herd cats. And those are some big cats at TNT. It's the best panel there is. There's nothing even
What happened last night? Like, Barkley showed up with you guys. You were on the court. You were doing your stand-up, like, post-game. Mm-hmm. He just walked over.
Yeah. And Charles, it makes no mistake that, we've got quite a relationship, myself and Leo and Charles. And I never really kind of bother him to come on with us, but he was walking by, and it was after the game. He was clearly going elsewhere, probably a place, an establishment for a beverage or two, and stopped by. And that's the kind of guy he is. He's the most generous, good-hearted guy, and a very smart guy. And Jeff, you've been around him, you've seen him. He loves everybody, and everybody loves him, except for when the guy he threw through the window back in Orlando a few years ago.
Yeah, he went up the wrong tree.
Charles doesn't like bullies, right? And you consider that when he was on the floor, he kind of played like a bully. He was a great player in his time.
Well, that's the beauty of being an athlete. And if you're playing, you're allowed to morph into something different, right? When the ball goes in the air, when the puck drops or whatever, you got to do whatever you got to do to survive. Then you get off the field to play, and you can be a totally different person.
Played with numerous guys that were big into church, God, whatever you want to call it. Put their helmet on. Watch out. Language changes. Fighting occurs. And it's like, I was just at that guy's house holding hands, praying before dinner, and then you see him beating the crap out of someone.
And then afterwards, I want to thank God for making, or thank whoever, whatever God that they pray to.
Right, but for allowing me to beat the hell out of
I always wanted with someone, why wouldn't they ever say after a bad game, the devil made me do it?
It never works that way.
Yeah.
No, it never works that way.
I've never understood, the big circle and the prayers after a sporting event. Like, guys from both teams.
Especially in football, where you're trying to kick the snot out of each other.
Yeah, and then it's like, let's...
Well, you see it at Notre Dame all the time, but for obvious reasons, they're so affiliated with the Catholic Church and all that, but I don't know. I guess it's just part
everybody
of the routine,
has their everybody has their and if it helps somebody their daily worship or their belief in whatever it may be, it works for a lot of people.
Go for it. Raptors fans are going to be, praying tomorrow night. Because you got an opportunity at history. It's pretty incredible that this Toronto Raptor team, it's changed a lot in the past 5 to 7 years, but there was a long stretch, and Rod, you've been covering them since day one, where they were truly an outpost in the NBA, and it was kind of embarrassing at times. Like, they were so bad, and they had no plan, and they had no future. The fans still showed up. They've always done pretty well with attendance, and, they've been supported. It's not as if they were ever going to pull a Vancouver and leave, but there were some dark, dark times.
Well, the Vince Carter era, which was probably the best era before this era, because it brought people to the arena. Then the fact that he wanted to leave, and it was a long line of players that wanted to leave, from Damon Stoudemire to Tracy McGrady to Vince Carter to Chris Bosh to all of those who didn't want to play in Canada because of whatever reason. They used taxes, they used the fact they couldn't get ESPN, they used all of these other things. Now, based on what's happening, I think a lot of people would want to play here, would want to play north of the border.
Well, what's interesting, though, is what is hanging over this whole playoff run is the idea that Kawhi might be leaving in a month and a half, but it doesn't really matter. No one's talking about it today because the team is having success. You know, no one was, everyone was worried about Chris Bosh because they were a middle of the pack team. They had no shot at getting to an NBA final, let alone maybe winning anything. So without Chris Bosh, they were already a middle of the pack team. You take the best player off, and they're in big trouble. The same thing, like, that's how it really started with Damon Stoudemire. That's all they had. You know, rookie of the year, he was the face of the organization. He was the only player that the majority of people ever were attached to. And, you know, Isaiah leaves, and he's like, I'm out of here.
Everybody was leaving.
Everybody was out of here. And now, you know, I don't know what Kawhi's going to do in a month and a half. And
I think it's the needle's moving a little bit closer to staying.
I would hope so. You know, look at the position that he finds himself in here. And by all accounts, they've been treating him really well. We'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But we have the American Rod Black on the line.
I don't insult this man.
The American Rod Black.
Do not insult EJ.
He is the American Rod Black making his debut on Overdrive. Here is Ernie Johnson from TNT. How you doing, Ernie?
Man, if I were doing any better, I'd be jealous of myself. How about y'all?
Well, Rod's a legend up here. You know that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I know that. And believe me, I have so enjoyed having the chance to hang with Rod a little bit more than just saying, hey, in passing. And when you have a series like this, to, you know, after a game to kind of hang out, and then at the airports and before the game courtside, and it's an honor to be on the show. Thank you.
You know, Ernie, isn't a lot of people, one of the great things, the gifts that we have is that ability, and I think it's in any sport, maybe whether it's a hockey rink or a baseball diamond, before the game, I love those 2 or 3 hours before the game where we all can kind of hobnob and talk. And, you know, sometimes it's not even about the sport. Sometimes it's about just life. But isn't it kind of cool?
Exactly.
I thought last night was so cool, the way we all kind of were pontificating about what could happen, and none of us really knew.
No, we never do. And it's not just about basketball, too. It's about our travels through the years, and it's about the hotels we've stayed at, and it's everything. I don't think Fred Van Vliet's name came up a whole lot in our conversation before the game tomorrow, and it turned out he had this game for the ages. And that's the great thing about playoff basketball. You never know who's going to be the guy who steps up and becomes the story of the game. And I thought last night was one of the great possum games of all time by Kawhi Leonard, to get you thinking that he's a little limited. He's trying to facilitate, and I think he really was just trying to save up as much as he could for the fourth quarter of that game, and he came up huge. So I've been sitting around crunching numbers this afternoon, and you know what number playoff game this is for the Raptors in their history, correct? 100th. This will be the 100th playoff game in Toronto Raptors history. And it's the biggest game in the franchise history, and it's going to be so great to be in that building, and hopefully the weather holds, and we can be outside in Jurassic Park for the pregame show, because it's such a wonderful setting. So, great stuff. I mean, it's just going to be a wonderful night, and we'll see if they can get it done. I mean, this is again the biggest game in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, they keep rewriting the history book. I mean, it was the biggest play, the biggest moment in franchise history was Kawhi, Game 7 against Philly in that shot. And, you know, last night there may not have been one specific moment. Certainly they can't match a series-winning shot at the buzzer like we saw a couple of weeks ago against Philly. But without question, I mean, going up 3-2, they're a game away from the NBA Finals. And, you know, Ernie, you've been tracking the NBA for a long time, well before the Raptors ever got on the map. And we live here, and this is our city, and it's the team we follow closely. And we were saying just prior to having you on, you know, it took a long time, but they finally made their mark. I mean, they haven't done it yet. They got to punch their ticket. They got to win tomorrow night or on Monday night.
Right.
But there was a long time where the Raptors were an outpost in the NBA and an afterthought. And quite frankly, it was self-inflicted. They didn't build a program that was worthy of attention, but they finally done it.
Yeah, I mean, it's right here for the taking, and it's you know, if you can beat the number one seed in the conference to get there, I mean, winning that game 5 in that gym in Milwaukee was really something. And I think, you know, looking at the way the series has gone so far, and looking at the problems that Toronto had in the first couple of games, and really just you know, getting the contributions from other guys in the first three games. You know, I'm looking at that 78 bench points in the first three games for Toronto and 83 in the next two games. I mean, whether it's Ibaka showing up, whether it's, you know, Fred VanVleet as he did last night. It's, you know, that's what you got to have. I mean, you know, the stars are basically going to cancel each other out in a series. But it's, you know, who else is going to be there? And I think, you know, Toronto's defense has been tremendous. You know, in the first two rounds, just great. And the points off turnovers against Philadelphia, that was a huge factor. And now you've seen in this series, you know, Charles and I were talking the other day, and I said, look, this is a battle of wills in this as the series started. I said, here's a team, you know, Milwaukee, that's scoring at will against whoever they play. And Toronto's been great holding people under 100 points. And he said, well, Toronto's not going to be able to hold this team under 100. And really, it's happened twice. That double overtime game wound up in the hundreds, but they held them to 96 in regulation, held them to 99 last night. And if you can do that against Milwaukee, you got a great chance. And I just think, you know, Nick Nurse is to be commended for the job he's done, throughout this series. And so here you are, right on the doorstep, and we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
With Ernie Johnson from the NBA on TNT, as you prepare for the pregame tomorrow night, how much of that conversation do you anticipate will revolve around Giannis and the amount of pressure that is on him, considering he's likely going to win the MVP this year, and everything has gone so well for him all season, and he's taken a lot of heat. You know, in the fourth quarter, he went MIA last night. How much chat do you guys expect to have about Giannis leading into the game tomorrow night?
Well, once we get done talking about Drake, you know, we might have 30 seconds. No, right. I think that's been obviously one of the keys to the series. And if you look at the three best players that Milwaukee had in the regular season, that's Middleton. I mean, that's, you know, the Freak and Middleton and Bledsoe, and all their numbers in this series are down from what they were in the first two rounds of the playoffs. And I think that Toronto has done a wonderful job at just clogging that paint. When you realize you're facing the guy who's got more points in the paint than anybody else in the league, a guy who wants to live there, a guy who's not that comfortable, you know, he will shoot the jumper, but that's not his strong suit. His strong suit is slashing into the hole and using his length and his athleticism to get to the rim. And boy, time and time again, you see him get into the paint and you see four Raptors on him. And, you know, I think, you know, part of being a superstar maybe is you force the issue a little bit and say, well, I gotta get this to go. And when he does dish it off and hit the guys on the wings, they have to make shots. And that's not been happening. And I think if you try to do too much on your own, then you limit a guy like Chris Middleton to just nine shots. You know, Chris Middleton's got to get in the flow. You know, I think the Bledsoe-Lowry matchup at the point is something that, you know, if Milwaukee's going to stay alive, they got to win that matchup. And so, no, I mean, there are a million storylines out there, but everything revolves around Giannis, and I think that the job Toronto's done defensively on him is a reason that you're sitting here 3-2.
With Ernie Johnson, the host of the NBA on TNT, I'm sure with that panel, with Charles and with Kenny and Shaq, I mean, it's maybe the most famous sports panel in the world. There's been a lot of shocking moments you guys have witnessed and you guys have supplied, and you've seen firsthand. Where would Shaquille O'Neal singing "O Canada" rank for you?
That was one of the. It was kind of, you know, it was in the commercial break before that actually happened. We were doing that same thing. So the crowd in Jurassic Park started singing "O Canada," and so we kind of joined in, and it was funny. We all had laughs, and then it was okay. 30 seconds. Okay, we're back on. I had no idea that in the middle of Shaq's answer live in the next segment, they would burst into song again. So I'm sitting here saying, look, everybody watching this can hear this and probably can't hear Shaq's answer because it's in that real low register and blah, blah, blah. And so we just said, well, let's do this again. So it was a wonderful moment. It was one of those things. It's so organic. It was just wonderful. And you know, the four of us, you know, have probably you know, you're not going to put us in a barbershop quartet. It's not pretty. And but it was just a wonderful moment, and that's what makes the one on the road so much fun. Things like that.
Well, I would expect it's going to happen tomorrow night if they win, and the weather holds up, and you're outside. It's going to get loud.
I want so badly for the weather to cooperate, because that is, you know, the great thing about this series in both places, the fans at both places, at the Deer District in Milwaukee and here at Jurassic, have been so entertaining. And it's you know what part of the cool thing for me, I always go out early because I want to go out there and meet some of these folks. And, well, you know, we take selfies and we sign stuff, and it's just fun, man. And so, yeah, let's hope that it's conducive to being outside tomorrow.
Well, enjoy it tomorrow night. We really appreciate you taking some time for us this afternoon, and we'll see you down there tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow night.
Ernie, we'll see you. We'll see you with those great sneakers that you wear.
Oh, man. Hey, if it's free, it's for me, Rod. You know that. I'll be sporting those 11s again tomorrow night, man.
All right. Thanks. We'll thanks a million, Ern.
Guys, thank you so much for having me on. It's really an honor. Thanks.
There's Ernie Johnson from the NBA on TNT.
I wonder if Kawhi's situation is going to infect their panel and what kind. I mean, if another team, their job is to do the spotlight games in the States with all the star players, the best players. Are they going to be doing some games in the future where load management's going to come in watching the way Kawhi Leonard's playing in the playoffs? Maybe their star, like their job is to do the big games.
I think that load management thing, which was started by the director of sports science, Alex McKechnie, who has been the secret weapon for the Raptors. I think a lot of people are starting to think about that.
Yeah, so that TNT panel is going to be doing some games, or maybe the star players. Tonight's not my night. I need 20 games off.
Yeah. And by the way, Alex McKechnie, he was the guy who saved Shaquille O'Neal's career and helped him win rings. He was the guy. You can Google it, look it up, and Shaq says, the guy in Canada, Alex McKechnie.
That's his guy?
He did it for me.
Do you want to hear Kawhi's postgame with TNT last night?
Yes.
Because it is a thing of beauty.
Right on.
Let's hear it.
If a series doesn't start until somebody wins on the road, it started tonight, but how do you beat the Bucks four times in a row?
I don't know. I haven't done it. We're taking it one game at a time, and, you know, I'm just excited that we got the win tonight.
With one win away until a trip to the NBA Finals, what's this team's mentality with history on the line?
I mean, I haven't even gotten in the locker room yet. We just finished the game. But, I mean, we wanted to come out here, get the win. We weathered the storm early, and I'm going to see what we're going to be talking about in the locker room.
I love that answer.
I don't know.
I love the guy.
I haven't even got to the locker room.
I couldn't tell. I don't know what the mentality is. I haven't been in the locker room yet.
Yeah, I love the fact that he has no swag. And he is that cyborg. And he just gives you that answer. And
I think he's starting to understand that he knows what he's doing now, and he's deliberately making it.
That's what I'm wondering.
He's the Greg Popovich of players. Oh, wait a minute. He and Pop had a thing, so he's not the Greg Popovich.
But I wonder if it's swag now. Like, I'm with you. I'm wondering if, like, New Balance, because they get the fun guy posters and billboards all over the city, if now it's like...
Yeah, it's like, what are you going to do from here? Where are you going to go from here? Back to Toronto. Like, thanks, Tips. We know that.
Yeah.
He is what he is, and I'll tell you, if he does leave, which I think, again, people ask me every single day, and I thought it was 90-10 against him staying at the beginning of the season, I thought for sure. I moved to 50-50. I think even if they win, I think it would be 80-20 that he does stay, because I still think there is an opportunity that he might leave, because he's his own guy. He would leave $50 million on the table, first of all.
Yeah.
He would leave the great Raptors medical staff that has helped his career, by the way. He would leave all the iconic moments. But you know, if he ever came back, he might be the only player that ever left a Toronto franchise, left, and was actually given a standing ovation. Right back, first game. Usually you get booed.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I think based on what he's done, his body of work... I think there were no promises
at the year.
Yeah, but they're 1 year. That 1 year, if they didn't have this guy, trust me, if they didn't have that guy, they're not here.
Oh, there's no chance they're not here.
If that's
DeMar DeRozan, they're out against Philly.
Maybe earlier.
Against Orlando, it goes 6 or 7. But fans are fickle. You know, right now, people would say, I'll give you a standing ovation, even if you sign within the division. You know, everyone's assuming he's going to go to LA, which means
I don't know if that's done. Yeah, I don't know if that's a done one either. I think there's some other teams in the mix too. I think Brooklyn could be in the mix. He's got some really strong ties there to Brooklyn, the general manager Sean Marks. I think another thing that if I was the Toronto Raptors today, I would sign Corey Joseph, who's one of his real good buddies. His uncle's around this team a lot. There are little things I know that Masai Ujiri, who is being very stealth about this, is starting to do and has been doing. But I think also what they've been doing is just laying low and letting
let him go out there and play.
Yeah, and hey, again, if he gets to the finals, man, well, they might even, you know, one-year player to do that, it's incredible.
No, there's I'm not going to boo him. I don't think anyone being sensible would. He didn't choose to get traded here. He never gave any guarantees. He's a free agent.
And he played his butt off.
He has given you everything possible. Look, he's putting up historical numbers, not for the Raptors, in NBA history. Like, that's the kind of performance that this guy's putting forth. They're a win away from an NBA Finals. Kawhi Leonard has supplied Raptors fans with the greatest memories they've ever had. And the story hasn't been concluded yet. We'll find out where it goes tomorrow night.
By the way, if they do win, and I know a lot of people said, oh, it's just get to the NBA Finals, this team has a serious chance to win the NBA championship. They have a serious
I'm not there yet. I
chance.
Mean, Golden State.
Especially,
I'm
not even
let's
close
not
to
get
there,
crazy
Rod.
Here, Rod. Because
Roddy,
Golden
don't
State,
even do it. Golden State just slapped Portland.
They play Portland. Here's the other thing.
Without Durant.
And they probably will be without Durant. Remember, the Raptors took two from them this year, and what do the Raptors have if they got to the NBA Finals? I'm not putting the cart before the horse or the Warriors before the Bucks.
I was at the game. They beat Golden State here. I don't even think Steph Curry played.
Well, don't go by regular season stuff either, but I'm just going to throw that. The Raptors also have home court advantage.
Yeah, they do.
I think people are just going, oh, NBA Finals. No, no, no. Kawhi Leonard didn't come here to get to the NBA Finals. The Raptors aren't here to get to the NBA Finals.
Well,
the Raptors are here to win an NBA championship.
You're right.
That's why you go there.
But LeBron didn't stay in Cleveland last year just to get to the NBA Finals, and they got smoked.
Yeah.
They got swept. Like, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, and we'll see where we're at.
That's a little bit horny for right now.
I don't want to go there.
It's a Viagra take.
Let's keep it quiet.
Yes.
That's a cereal bowl full of Cialis tape.
Charlie Coyle of the Bruins had...
You put that on your cereal?
You can, Ronnie.
The most annoying quote I think I've ever heard. Last night. We'll let you hear it. We'll talk about it next.
See, Drake changed his Instagram profile pic. Is that offside? Was I not supposed to say that?
No, you can. Yeah.
The owner's daughter of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah. Well, because she showed up wearing a Pusha T.
Dude, I don't even know who Pusha T is. Yeah.
He's a rapper. He took runs at Drake in the past. I don't know. I guess there's beef between the two. I think it's pretty clear what Drake's motive is and all that. I think it's basically a way into the DMs, and then he's probably going to try to take it from there. That would be my guess, because I don't know if they know each other. He posted on Instagram, Drake, like, next time you ask for my, you know, tickets to a show, I won't hook you up, or something along those lines. But I don't, you know, there's a lot of different women, a lot of different men in the world that have taken runs at Drake, and he has not reacted to them. I don't think it's a coincidence that he decided to react to this woman's troll job. This one caught the ire of Aubrey.
I was doing the broadcast last night, and I didn't see it, but I think it's kind of cool that he was down at Jurassic Park, right? Like, I know we showed shots of that. Have you heard
a
any of the
shots? Like, he was there last night.
Yeah, but I mean,
he went on a rant on CP24.
Yeah. We got the audio. We can play that.
Well, the other thing, too, is it is what it is. I know some people don't agree. I don't agree entirely with him getting so far out on the floor. I don't care what he does on the sideline. I honestly don't. Because, guys, every arena has a Drake. There's some kind of fan that's there. The thing about
not this, of this magnitude, Roddy.
Well, not massaging a coach. But he's one of the most famous people of all time. And I don't know why Mike Budenholzer even went there when they was asked that question the other day.
Showing signs that it's getting to them.
It's getting.
Like Giannis's agent came out with a comment. Yeah.
Why would you even bother? Because now you've got that in the back. And your kid, like, I'm telling you, the Raptors, Drake, everybody, Kawhi, they are in their kitchen, they're in their dining room, they're in their living room, and
wait until tomorrow night.
It's a mental game, by the way. You know, at some point, forget the lines. It's what's between the ears, and I think this has been a. a test of mental awareness for both teams. And I think the Raptors have passed it with flying colors over the last three games.
Well, being down 2-0, you were up against it. I mean, I think it says a lot about, you know, perseverance, about character.
Staying in the moment. I thought that was a great thing that Marc Gasol said. We stay in the moment. And I know it sounds cliche, but it's true. If you can just calm your heartbeat a little bit, you know, and the palms don't sweat that much. It's in everything in life.
Right. They were down 10 in the third quarter on the road.
It's so hard to do something that you've never done before, whether it's broadcasting, whether it's changing a tire, whether it's whatever it might be in life. If you haven't been there before, you don't know what it's like till you get there. And you know what? We're seeing that in the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, we have not been in a situation like this in a long, long time. You know, Maple Leafs, Raptors, Blue Jays at home, a chance to punch a ticket to a championship round since Game 7 in 93.
I was there.
Gretzky was at the Gardens. And you have a chance to be in the house tomorrow night. This morning on First Stop, Landsberg and Koliakovo announced a Raptors playoff keyword. If you heard it, now is your chance to call 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. The first person through with the correct keyword will win a pair of tickets to see Raptors Game 6 tomorrow night against the Bucks, courtesy of TSN 1050.
You get to sit right beside Drake.
You'll
no,
be
I better not
house.
Say that.
You'll be in the house tomorrow night.
Be in the house.
So the Boston Bruins, they've been off for a while. They're kind of like Golden State. And I guess St. Louis is maybe like the Raptors, maybe Milwaukee. The series isn't over yet. We'll see.
Not a far off comparison, actually.
No, very similar. And you know, Boston's got championship pedigree. They've got a vibe to them. St. Louis has never won a cup. The Raptors have never been to an NBA final. So the Bruins last night, they had a scrimmage where they actually, I think they were charging people to show up.
$10, packed house. By the way,
did it go to charity or did they?
I would hope
money?
It's going to charity.
I got to think it was a charity thing, don't you think?
That would be a greasy thing to do.
Like, you're going to make a fortune in a cup final. If you're the owner of the team, you got to pull in an extra...
Let's just not even ask the question. Let's just hope that it was charity 100%.
Assume it was a charity. And I guess Brad Marchand got banged up a little bit, and he's going to be fine. And Cassidy came out after the scrimmage and said, we think he's okay. But that was what made us nervous throughout the evening, was we're playing a simulated hockey game here. These guys, they're not throwing massive hits, and there aren't going to be fights, but we're trying to initiate some sort of intensity.
I like the fan idea, getting the fans involved, but into the Stanley Cup Finals, that's not, I would not be doing that. I wouldn't do it.
It seems to me like a just what we talked about in basketball. Why would you have another distraction? It just to me,
there's a big moment coming up. Like let everyone be calm and eat.
Nothing good can happen beyond charity.
Yeah.
Out of
and
that.
I get
and
that
they've
been off a long time.
The off season. Yeah.
They've been off a long time, and maybe you want to get into some kind of game. I don't know, but that is not something I would have.
Well, do you feel like it would have helped you?
No.
Like they don't play again until Monday night, so you still got.
And you're
four
going
days.
Out there. It's basically beer league hockey. It's not like how hard are you going to try in a scrimmage?
No, you're not. You're not.
You're like God. I do not want to skate fast. I might run into somebody. I don't want to hit anybody. I'd rather some 3-on-3 battle drills in the corner where you're just kind of you're intense and you're working. I don't know. That wouldn't be for me.
I'd like to get your guys' take on this, especially you, O-Dog. I love hockey so much. I love every sport. I love hockey so much. But why are we playing a Stanley Cup final in the month of June?
It is ridiculous. I think it should be over.
It's taking away kids from watching the game.
Yeah. End of April, it should be wrapped up, done.
That's it.
Start September 1st when all hockey starts.
Yeah. It makes no
Start
sense
September
to me.
1st and have it done by April. There's no reason for this to be going on.
When I was growing up, that's the way, and you were inspired as a kid.
First day of school, you're starting hockey that night.
You know what? It really dawned on me a few years ago. This is about even 10 years ago, and I just went out. I was between periods, the Dallas series a few years ago, Brett Hull goal. When I walked outside between periods, I had to walk my dog. And I went outside, and I realized that there were soccer fields full of kids and baseball diamonds full of kids and malls full of people. And I'm thinking, those people aren't watching. Your audience is not watching. And I worry about that sometimes.
Well, do you have the same feeling about the NBA, though?
I think it's a little bit different because I don't think people... Here's the other thing. I don't think people watch whole games anymore anyway. I just think the NBA hype machine is so large that they're going to watch.
Well,
it's a superstar-driven league.
You know, like Golden State, this is fifth year in a row. They're still going to put up numbers. Now, the numbers are going to drop because if it's Toronto... they're really going to drop because this market doesn't count in terms of the ratings down in the States. And even if it's Milwaukee, it's such a small market. It's not going to be like when, although Cleveland's not big, but LeBron generates so much interest. And LeBron going to an NBA Finals 8 years in a row, you've got your built-in superstar. You've got narratives built in. Here, if it's Kawhi, if it's Giannis, you've got that going for you. St. Louis doesn't have a superstar. They've got a lot of very good players. Tarasenko is a great player. I don't know if he's a superstar, and I don't know if he's a household name. Boston does. You know, Boston's got superstars, and they've got people. Everyone knows Char. Everybody knows Marchand and Bergeron. But the St. Louis Blues, they don't have that type of attraction, which always comes with the NBA teams for the most part. But, you know, it comes down to building availability. They play a long season.
I don't know why, by the way.
Not much you can do about it.
Why isn't the NHL starting tonight?
Well, I don't get that either. Or tomorrow
like you
night
want to wheel
something.
In on Monday night to start the finals? That is redonkulous. They could have started tonight. They could have had a Sunday afternoon game, and away you go.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't give you an explanation.
What the hell's going on in Boston about building availability? What do they got, a circus in town or something? The Celtics aren't playing.
No, there's no reason for it. They're the main tenant.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a concert, you go to them and say, sorry,
and you can always move
around.
You can always move up. I don't know if they adjusted or not. The NBA Finals originally were scheduled, I think, 3 days later. They moved them up. They will move up. If there's sweeps, they will move things up. And they go, NBA Finals a little bit different. But right now, it's great having every second night you play. I thought even the NHL Stanley Cup playoff, and the NBA did it as well. How can you have 3 and 4 days off between
that
games?
That is ridiculous.
That is like, especially...
You lose momentum of everyone's
like
interest.
Especially like hockey. Like, come on.
Yeah,
everybody wants
be.
To get on the ice and play.
Right. Well, the Raptors, that's the beauty of this series. Every second
every
night.
Other game. It's like you're into it. You can't wait for the next night. Right. That is perfect. Yeah. I don't even care. You want to do a couple games or a couple days. If it's travel West Coast to East Coast, great. Other than that, every other night.
8:30 tip off every second night. You know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know exactly when they're playing, where they're playing. It's perfect. You know, we've been referencing that 93 run by the Maple Leafs because of what is at stake tomorrow night. And they played 21 games, I believe, in 42 nights. They had back-to-back-to-back 7-game series against Detroit, St. Louis, and L.A. 21 games in 42 nights.
It was
nights.
An insane time. I
Which
remember
means even when they beat Detroit, 2 nights later, they were playing St. Louis at home.
Yeah, what something happened through the years. Do you also recall 93? What happened is that the Leafs got off to this unbelievable start to the regular season in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
It coincided with the Blue Jays
winning
the World Series.
Right.
And I think they actually, Leafs knocked the Jays in the playoffs off the front cover of a couple of newspapers.
10 in a row they won.
Yeah.
To start 93-94. So anyway, it was a cool scene in Boston last night because they had, I think, 17 or 18,000 people show up for a practice. I mean, we're talking about practice here and people were showing up. And Boston's a great sports town. We know that. We're all sick and tired of it. You know, you've got Brady. You've got the Red Sox. Now the Bruins are back in a cup final. Charlie Coyle, who I believe is from the area. I think he's a Boston guy. And I guess, you know, you've got to cater to your home crowd. He doesn't care about what a Yahoo like me thinks up in Toronto. But hearing this comment is so sickening because he was asked about how many people showed up last night. And, you know, just the atmosphere around the city, people supporting the Bruins. And here's what Charlie Coyle said post-practice last night.
You know, Patriots, Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, obviously. And then to see that here for a practice scrimmage, and it's, you know, packed house. It's really cool, really cool. And you just see how dedicated they are and how much they want this, just like we do. And so that's up to us to try to give them what they deserve.
They don't deserve anything in Boston. What they deserve. Do you think they really care that much anymore? Like, honestly, though, they want it so badly. No, they don't. No, they just won a Super Bowl and a World Series.
They've had a nice run.
They deserve a parade.
Yeah. They deserve it because they
imagine
showed up
that
for a scrimmage.
Turkey sign, what it's going to say. Remember, it was a couple years ago. It was like, I'm 11. I've seen 8 parades. I don't know what it was.
I hate that kid.
I do, too.
Oh, the worst
really?
Kid. The worst parent ever, because it's the parent that makes sure that the kid gets out of school for the parade.
Dude, what are you talking about? If there was 8 parades in Toronto and your dad being the sports guy he was, he would have been at every one.
Yes, yeah, so, and he'd be the worst parent at that point.
Yeah, but
what?
I don't think you put a sign up.
You would have been like, Dad, take me to the parade.
I'll tell you why. For putting your kid in a position where guys like us can say, we hate that kid.
Yeah. I think the dad made the sign.
Absolutely.
That kid made the sign.
That kid can't work that sign.
That kid can't make signs like that.
He's 8 years old. That was an elaborate sign. It was an elaborate sign. There's no way that kid can pull that off.
He wrote, I'm 8. I've been to 11 parades. That's not that complicated.
Well, I'm jealous of
you
that kid.
You can Google it that day.
Right. Yes, I get it. But, you know, we're jealous of Boston.
Imagine had the Celtics lived up to any expectation. They would have been in this series, possibly.
And the Raptors would be up 3-2.
That would have been the Grand Slam, I think, right?
Yeah.
Having all the championships. That's crazy.
Right. Pats have the Super Bowl, and the Red Sox are the reigning World Series champ.
Possibility of the Bruins.
But, yeah, I get it, Charlie. What's he going to say? But get the hell out of here. They deserve it. We got to give them what they deserve, and they want it. Shut up. Drives me nuts.
Who's going to win the cup?
I think St. Louis.
I think there's like a team of destiny.
Yeah.
You know, I really
do. It's a coin flip, but I think they're going to kind
of. I like what Brian said. You know, like, I like the way they're coming in, like, you know, from that angle of not being this superstar laden team. And they've got so many great stories from their goalie to, you know, the way they started. They were awful.
January 2nd, worst team in the league.
And to get the goaltender that nobody, even in his own house, knew who he was. I mean, my God, it's a great story.
Yeah, it really is.
No, I'd love to see it. I mean, it would be great for St. Louis. Like, we've had Kelly Chase on a couple times in the past 2 or 3 weeks, and Chaser's from Saskatchewan, but
he's loving this.
He is a St. Louis blue. He loves St. Louis, and he loves that. He's crying after they get to a cup final, you know. And there'll be a lot of Raptors fans who have been along for this ride for a long time that, you know, will be pretty emotional tomorrow night if the Raptors can find a way to win or if it has to be in Game 7, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what you get. Yeah. When you're committed to a team, and a team that's had a lot of heartbreak and, quite frankly, has disappointed you a lot, you know, the Blues have probably disappointed a lot of fans there for a long, long time.
And Wayne Gretzky played for the St. Louis Blues.
Right.
Couldn't get
it done in St. Louis.
They had so many great players. Think about Brendan Shanahan. All the players they've had through the years. Great, great players. Great teams.
Well, Noodles was on that team in 99 that won the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
And they lost in the first round. They lost
San Jose.
Right.
Yeah.
First round, Game 7 at home.
Noodles choked in net. He was awful.
That was his fault. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows it was his fault.
Yeah, he let a shot in from the red line, and the rest was history.
Yep, that was the end
of the road. Owen Nolan.
He was a Minnesota Wild before you knew it.
Mm-hmm. Then Japan.
And then he went to Japan.
Yeah, he did a run, didn't he? He was in the KHL for a while.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah. He had to pull the pin on the KHL. Yeah. He just said, I can't be over here.
A traveling guy.
He's
getting his broadcasting career ready because you have to have stories. You have to be a well traveled person.
He's got a million of them.
Yeah,
yeah, he does. Jack Armstrong, our boy. I'm sure you're not sick and tired of seeing Jack.
I see him every hour and after hours.
Yeah, well, he's coming up.
I love hearing him on the broadcast.
Oh, like, he's awesome.
It's the hellos and get that garbage out of here. Like, I laugh when I hear it because I'm like, that's so cool and so appropriate. And I know it's coming, and it's still awesome every time.
He's one of a kind. Did you see his jacket the other day?
No.
He got a jacket tailored, and you open up, and the inside of the jacket has get that garbage out of here.
He had a great one with the Siakam block in the fourth last night.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't wait to drop a...
By the way, that was
get that garbage out of here! Hello!
So Jack's coming up, and Scott Mitchell will join us from the park. The Padres are in town for a series this weekend. It could be a historic day for the Blue Jays. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is back up, but Kevin Biggio making his debut tonight.
Josh Naylor.
And Josh Naylor is going to pitch.
Yeah,
he's going to play this week. Yeah. So that's coming up as well, and we'll catch up with Scott Mitchell around 6:30. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.